chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read you something here in just a second. As you turn your place in your Bible. This comes from the Cherokee County Courthouse. It's a list of stuff that they expect out of people that come to the courthouse. Now note this here. This is official Cherokee County Courthouse paper. Right here. See? Blank on one side, printed on the other. Please note that the following are not allowed in the courtroom. Cell phones, beepers, iPad. Can't take them in court. You think I call people down for phones ringing? You ought to be up there when they do it. Because, see, if you get it in the courtroom, you've had to go by that guy at the back, and he don't let you bring them in. So if you sneak one in there, you really will be in trouble in there. I like this one, no obscene T-shirts. How about that? You can't carry a 666 number of the beast up in that courtroom. They'll throw you out for that stuff. Any bad words, anything. How about this one? No hats. No hats. You church lady hats? Not up there. All right, watch this one. No tank tops. Can't wear no tank tops up there. So all you fat men in your wife beater T-shirts, you can't take them up in there. I say amen to that 1,000 times. All right, no book, magazines, or newspapers allowed in the courtroom. Can't bring that stuff in there. In other words, the judge wants your attention while he's in there. He don't want you being distracted. All right, here's this. This is a good one. This will kill you, ladies. No flip-flops. Man, no flip-flops. Wow. You thought we was tight and cut her straight, boy. It's the Independent Baptist courtroom here, ain't it? And then this one, no clothes with holes. And I thought, man, and if that ain't good enough, the last one says all shirts must be tucked in as well. Thank you for your cooperation. Wow. Now, listen to this. I ain't never heard nobody fuss about the courthouse having standards. Never heard it. Never heard nobody ever one time say, they're too strict up at that courthouse. I think I'm going to go to another courthouse. Is that right? I've heard how strict we was down here, and after reading that, I think we're liberals, amen. I think something, we backslid liberal something, man. But listen, as we look in the Bible today, Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll look down in verse 1, we'll start there. So for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now, when he brings up a mystery, there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible that show out. A lot of people would make this statement, and they say this out of ignorance. They say, well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, they don't know what they're talking about because God reveals every way he works. God does some things the ways you don't expect, and if you want to call that mysterious, I guess that is. But God reveals his mysteries to his people. And in fact, as we look at the mysteries of God, we went through that a couple weeks ago. There's about, 11, 12, 13 of those in the Bible. But if you look at verse 4, it says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is what? That's God manifest in the flesh. That's a mystery to people. They can't understand that thing. They can't understand how he ain't half God and half man. He's not half God and half man. He's all man and he's all God. And the Bible says in verse 6, here's another one here. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow heirs, it says, of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, if you just take that verse by itself, it'll kind of, you take that out of context. But he says here that this thing here in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. When Isaiah was writing the book of Isaiah, he wrote down Isaiah 53 about the coming suffering Messiah. But he never wrote one word about the church. Wow. Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem and preached against the sins of Jerusalem. Never a word about the church. Amos said, I'm not the prophet. He said, I'm not the son of a prophet.
And he preached on everything around him and started preaching about what was standing there with him. But no mention of the church. None of them did. No testament. The church was a mystery. And it was concealed in Christ. When Christ came, the church is conceived. Like any child is born, it was conceived. And then it was birthed. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church. He is talking about the body of Christ. He wasn't talking about any Catholic church. He was talking about the body of Christ. And then, in Acts chapter 2, the church is birthed in this world. And we've got the church here now, and the church is the most strangest thing in the world because it takes Gentiles that get saved and Jews that get saved and places them in one body. And he talks about all that. But if you look at verse 7, he says, wherefore I was made a minister. Made a minister, he says, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. God, listen, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Now, I can't explain that fully. I just know that's the way it works. God will take somebody from before they was even conceived, thought of, and say, I'm going to make that one a minister of the gospel. And somehow God guards their life all the way up to conversion. Then he calls them, and then he uses them in the ministry. You know how you can tell when somebody's a preacher when they really called? You can tell you how? They don't have to explain to you why they are. You know they are, and they know they are. They don't know why. They don't know why God would use them, why God would do any of that. They just know they are. And he says it's by this, by the effectual working of his power. Talking about Christ. You come down to about verse 13. He says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family is in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now he points out there, the riches of his glory be strengthened. And how is he strengthened? It's not through nutrition, but through the Spirit of God. The inner man. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. It's a strange thing for people to understand. They can't understand how people have done them wrong, and they throw back hatred and unforgiveness to them. But when you come to Christ, he forgives you. And after a person experiences the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, how dare we hold a grudge against anybody? Knowing what we did to him and how awful we were before we got saved. And sometimes after. But he says, now unto him that is able. What's he able to do? It said to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power is the Holy Spirit of God. It's effectual. And he says in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I want you to go back to verse 20. I want you to underline him that is able. Him that is able. I'll preach to you today that God is able. God is able. The phrase in the Bible, I looked this up, he is able, occurs 9 times in the Bible. 9 in the Bible is number for fruit and fruitfulness. And if you are going to be a fruitful Christian, if you're going to have God working in you and through you, you got to understand he's able and he will. There can be no coming to God with doubt. We must come to him and believe, and we must believe what he says. And if he says he's able, he's still able. If Paul, by the inspiration of God, says, now unto him that is able, he's not talking about the deacons, the Sunday school teacher, members of the church. He's talking about God Almighty that's still able and will still do everything he's capable of doing. As we look at that phrase, he is able, the Bible says in Leviticus 14:22, the first occurrence of that, talks about the sacrificial system. It says, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. When the phrase He is able shows up the first time, God never requires you to do anything more than He's equipped you to do. The difference in people is this. Some people believe God can and they know God is able and they'll start following the Lord and He'll use them right where they're at. He'll empower them and He'll only want them to do what He's called them to do. A lot of people have got it in their brains that they have that their ministry in life is to make somebody's life horrible and miserable and all that. God never called you that. God called you to encourage people and win souls to Christ and be filled with the Spirit of God. And if God's going to use anybody, that's what He's going to require of them. He's not going to require of them some outside source. He said the effectual power that worketh in you. God has put that treasure, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, inside the believer. And when He put Him inside there, He is now that treasure that He puts in earthen vessels. And He's there because God is able. And God wants to do some great things in people's lives. He talks about in Deuteronomy 16, for every man to give as he is able. He goes on down in Philippians and 2 Timothy talking about he is able. And I like this part. When I read it here, him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. That's our God. That's not the God of the Jehovah's Witness. That's not the God of the Mormons. That's not the God of the Catholic Church. That's not the God of of all this other stuff. That's the God of the Bible. He's past our understanding, but yet He lets us understand Him somewhat. We get to learn of Him. But I want to show you this today about God is able. Look over at the book of Jude. Take a right where you at, right before you get to Revelation. There's a little one chapter book there, the book of Jude. Don't you look at something over there. God is able. God is able. In the book of Jude, down in verse 24. Jude verse 24, the Bible says this. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I want you to notice this. Number one, He's able to keep.
Right.
He's still able to keep. Listen, He's able to keep you from what? From falling. God's able. There'll never be somebody that comes along after everything's all wrapped up and there's a new heaven and a new earth and somebody look around and say, wait a minute. I thought such and such was here. Where'd they go? No, because God's able to keep all of them. When we get to finally see the Lamb's Book of Life and God lays that thing out there and we're able to walk up to it, it's going to be just like the day you got your new phone book. You know whose name you're going to look for first? Yours. You're going to think this is too good to be true. You're going to be flipping through the pages. Whew, this ain't a dream after all. There's my name right there. But you're going to notice some places in that book that's going to astound you. It's going to have names of people you thought, they're here? And this is going to dawn on you. If I'm here, it's okay they're here. If I made it, they made it. But you're also going to see spots in that book where there's little holes. You know what that is? That's the people that cut the words out of this book. God's taken their part that would have been written around. He's taken that out. Their name can't be written there. You go to mess with this book, God will go to mess with you. And the worst thing He's going to do to you is this. It's not going to be to make you crazy on this side of the grave and mess up your mind. He will do that. But when you start taking out this book, your opportunity to be saved has just been cut out of His book. That's what the Bible says. Look it up in Revelation 22. He'll take their part out. Now there's no place to write their name. You know why? They thought they were smart as God and could correct His book. I noticed that God is able to keep. When God saves somebody, He's able to keep them. And when God keeps them, they're kept. I'm not worried. Listen, the people say, well, don't you folks that believe in eternal security, don't you worry about, you know, how you act and all that stuff? You better believe it every day. Listen, these people say, well, you folks that believe that, y'all just come to church on Sunday and live like you want to during the week. No, that's not our crowd. Our crowd's this. We're saved, and every day we walk in the Spirit of God. We walk in newness of life. And listen, God's Holy Spirit deals with us every day. We don't walk out here and say, I'm just going to do what I want to and get away with it. You don't get away with it. Listen, if you try to get away with it somewhere down the line, it's going to work like this. The Holy Spirit's going to say, you ain't going to get away with that. You know why? He's able to keep you. I noticed some of you children, y'all think y'all so much smarter than us. Bless your heart. Y'all do. Y'all really do. Y'all think y'all so smart. Y'all got them electronic devices. Y'all so sneaky. Y'all got things that y'all say we never had. We never had iPads, iPhones, iPods, and websites, and computers, and we never had all that. And y'all just so smart. They had a word for all that back then, and we had it too. You know what it's called? Sin. Sin. All the adultery and stuff that goes on in this world, they say, oh, that internet, that's the problem. Them chat rooms and that Facebook. Well, back when I was a kid, they had adultery then too, but they didn't have that, but it's called the same thing. It was sin. You can get to sin anywhere. It's not because you're electronic, it's because you're cold, black, dark heart that's right. Never been converted. It'll be allured to sin.
Right.
Thank you very much. Elvis has just left the building. When I was a kid, it was a sin to have a television. Said the guy with the 54-inch screen. But the problem was not the television. Then by the time I came along, it was a sin to go to the movie theater and own DVDs. And then here, 19 years later, I hear this stuff. It's a sin to be on the internet and all this other stuff. The problem's not the internet, the problem's not the movies, the problem's not the television, the problem's not the radio, the problem's right here.
Right.
And if you see somebody that's falling away from the faith and they're getting out there and you call them hypocrite, you're probably right, it's not because they're in, it's because they never got in, because he that is able to keep them from falling is not their treasure in earthen vessels, he's
right.
Not there. If the Bible said God's able to keep you from falling, you know what that means? He's still able to do that. If he kept Jude from falling, and he kept Paul from falling, and he kept Peter and Matthew and all that, he's still able to keep you from falling.
Right.
When you belong to him, the rules change. You know why? He's now the ruler.
Right.
And when folks are staying a constant mess all the time in sin, Romans chapter 6 says the problem is they never got in. Because when you get in, God gets in. And when God gets in, God takes care of things. He's able to keep you from falling.
Right.
We call that divine security. But we need more than that. Look over Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Take a left where you at. Hebrews chapter 2. Ain't we having fun so far? Hebrews chapter 2. I done called out everything that's sin in your life and you sitting there cringing and everything else. You sneaking around. If I left anything out, Instagram, Twitter, whatever I left out, listen, you remind me. I'll call her out next time. Hebrews chapter 2. Unlike your news station, I like to be fair and balanced. Right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And that word succor means assistance and support in time of hardship and distress. He's able to do that. We call that divine support. When a military operation's going on, and I watched some videos here a while back of this thing, I thought, man, it's incredible technology this country has. There was these people trying to flush out these Taliban. The army was coming in. There was villagers here. Then Taliban guys were trying to use those villagers to shield them. And the whatever that thing was, a helicopter, whatever it was looking down there, and they caught three men going out the back of them huts over there, whatever it was they lived in, or tents or whatever. And as they was running out the back of them things, and they had that barricade of people, and the army is over here, that guy said, wait a minute, they're going out the back. We got them. You know what that's called? That's air support.
Yeah.
So something from above saw something wasn't right on the ground, and you could see him. Boom. Boom. He said, watch out, and he's running left. Boom. Cleared up, Captain. We got him. So in case you're battling on the ground and you can't seem to get no leeway and it seems like the devil's got a bunch of things in front of you, just call in some air support on him. That's all you got to do. And listen, God's able to succor you in that time. He's able to give you that divine support. You know why? It says right there in the text. You see it? He is. We're not talking about what God can't do. It's what God can do. You want to know something God can't do? Titus chapter 1 verse 2. God can't lie.
Right.
But here's what he can do. He can give you some divine support. There may come a time in your life you're being hit head on. You don't know what to do. Hey, just call in the divine support. He'll take care of it. Listen to this. He's also able to do this. Look up Philippians chapter 3. Take a left where you at. Go to the left. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In this day you and I live in, we live in a day in which we're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled. We're seeing the stage set up for the end times. We're seeing all kind of things come to pass that we never thought we'd see in this lifetime. We're able now to carry a little box with us in our hand that we could literally see live action across the world if they had a camera set up on that side. We're able to make a phone call now instead of just talking. We can look into that little screen and see the other person. Listen, technology just keeps speeding up, just like the Bible said it would towards the end. So where's that at? Oh, it's somewhere in the book of Daniel. You might have read that day and see if I'm right. I would. I'd check me out. I don't trust me either. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 21. This is what's going to happen to rapture the church. Because listen, it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Right.
He's able to subdue. Underline it. He's able.
Right.
There's going to come a time in which God's going to take your vile body, eat up with disease and sin and everything else. And for the saved child of God, what he's going to do to him, he's going to take that vile body and change it like to his glorious body.
Right.
If you go to studying that glorious body, that glorious resurrection body of Christ, you'll find out something. He was able to travel from one place to another at the speed of thought. Don't touch me, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. A couple hours later, he shows up and says, all right, put your hands here and touch him. You don't believe I'm real? Here I am. Don't touch me, touch me. Don't touch me, touch me. How quick is that? Well, let's see. If we leave planet Earth and we head due north and we go outside our galaxy and we keep on going and go outside this universe, at the very north of this universe, if it was one great big ball, you get up there and there's a great body of water up there. You go through that body of water, on the other side of it, you start noticing it gets cold and all of a sudden it's frozen up there. And as you pass through and look at it, it looks like a crystal sea. That's in the Bible, right? So is that body of water. It's over in Psalms and in Job. You look at that thing over there and all of a sudden there you are in heaven. How quick can you get there? Like that. They told one time when I was in the science class about how quick a thought goes through the human brain. I was amazed. I mean, it's just done. And when you go to looking at how many words you can speak per minute out of your mouth, it's almost 5 times as much you can think. That's why when you're talking to somebody, sometimes they just kind of, you know why? They're talking to themselves the whole time. They like to hear their voice. They like to hear their head roar. That's what the problem is. You already think, well, what are you going to say back to them while you're trying to hear what they say? You can't do both. You got to listen, then respond. Okay? But it says he's able to subdue. That's divine subjection. You say, how's God going to change my body at the rapture when the doctor can't seem to get rid of this and I can't do this and all that stuff? It's because, honey, he's going to step out of that cloud and he's going to say, come up hither to all his people. It's going to sound as if it were a trumpet, and in a second we're going to be changed. He's able. Underline it. He is able. You say, well, I went up to the Carowinds, went up there and they said I was too fat to ride that ride. My weight limit's too big. Don't worry about this one. He's able. I seen a thing the other night in the restaurant. And it had a sign that said, must be under this height to play in the playroom. I said, thank God that'll keep some of them 7 feet tall teenagers out there so them kids can play. Somebody say amen. But there's not a height requirement for this glorious body because he's going to say, come up hither, and the short and the tall alike's going to come.
Right.
The fat and the skinny are going to come. And all the saved people, no matter where they're at, they're going to come.
Right.
Don't you like that? I found out something a while back. He said in the midnight hour he'd come, right? Do you know this planet only has 24 time zones? That's why I have 24 hours in a day. Y'all know that? Of course y'all knew that, right? Well, you know, somewhere when he comes, it's going to be midnight. somewhere on this planet. I like that. It may be 3 o'clock here, or 12 o'clock here, or 4 o'clock, but it'll be midnight somewhere. Isn't that good? I'm glad to know this. I don't care where it's midnight at. The daybreak's going to come. He's going to rise, and we're going to rise, and He's able, by divine subjection, to make that happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. Thank God. Listen, no more diabetes, no more cerebral palsy. I'm glad, thank God, to find out that God's able to do that. And He's able to do it exceedingly abundantly and above all I could ask for Him to think to do it. You say, I've heard of a good weight loss plan. I heard one too. It's called the Rapture of the Church. You don't think it'll happen? You wait and see. I'm glad to know this. If I can't ever lose it on this side, I'll lose it in a second when He shows up. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go back to Hebrews. I'll show you this one last one. Hebrews chapter 7. He is able. I like saying that. He is able. This is probably the most important one to somebody listening today. Hebrews chapter 7. If you look at verse 25. He says, wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Did you underline He is able? You know what He's able to do there? He's able to save. He's able. The prostitute comes to the Lord in conviction. They've heard the word of God. It's broke their heart. They've given their body to that lifestyle. Broken, alone, done things unthinkable, and they come to Him and He's able. That drunkard comes to Him and he comes to Him and says, you know, he's under conviction. He's heard the word of God. The Spirit of God's dwelt with him. He knows he's going to hell. And he comes to Him and says, Lord, I can't quit. I've had a problem. I can't quit. And God says, that's okay. I can quit it for you. He's able to save to the uttermost. I like it when the goody two-shoes walked in and said, Lord, I'm a good man. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never taken any prescription medicine I wasn't supposed to. I've never done anything purposely. But God, Your Spirit's dealing with me. I've heard the Word of God. I'm under conviction. I thought I was too good to be saved, but I know I'm going to hell. God's able to save him too. He's able. Somebody comes up to God and says, you know, I don't know if I'm too young to be saved. God says, I'm able. God deals with them. He's able. Somebody come to God one time and listen, I saw this one too. Do you think I'm too old to be saved? Do you think I'm too old? No, I'm able. That's what God says.
Right.
He's able. And no matter who they are, where they come from, just look at that. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. When you come by Christ, you're in. He is able. Say it with me. He is able. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around.